You want to know what a priest does? Just listen. This being the year of the priest, we thought it would be good to give the many dimensions of the priesthood in order to demonstrate how exciting it is to be a priest and what ministry is like. So far, we have given various dimensions of the priesthood, such as being a campus minister, actually being a chaplain on a fire department or the military, all of these various roles that help to define how the priesthood spreads out to so many different roles in life, states of life, actually. Today, what I would like to do is talk about the bazaar in the priesthood. So often we picture it as being this ideal situation, and sometimes not so ideal, but there are bizarre things which sort of make a ministry laughable. And so I'd like to start with some examples from my own priesthood, which I'm sure all priests can identify with. The bazaar. Well, let's look at the liturgy. Normally, when we have the liturgy, we expect people to come in, be respectful, kneel down. When you have to kneel down, stand, pray, all of the wonderful things that go into a beautiful liturgy. We also like liturgy at times to be quiet so that we can meditate and contemplate. Well, it's not always this way. In one instance, I'll never forget, we used to have a woman who claimed to be the wife of Jesus. All good and well. The only thing is, she sat in the front row. And not only did she sit in the front row, but she would come with a pillow and a crown on it. And this would go on day after day. The only problem with it was that she sat in the front row. And so when she came to church, she was a distraction. And this went on for quite a while, and we tried to gently, gentlemanlike, tell her we really didn't appreciate it. It was interesting because at first she wanted a lot of attention and she always wanted to talk to us. But then when we tried to stop her, she turned into a Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde and became very, very angry and mean. So much mean-spirited that eventually we had to have the police, who are right across the street from the church, haul her away. One incident of the bazaar in being a priest. Another, I'll never forget, coming to Mass one day, and this little Vietnamese girl came up, actually woman, and she wanted to serve, and fine, no problem. I didn't know who she was, and just figured she was a new parishioner, and somebody had trained her. Lo and behold, as I am saying Mass behind me, she also is celebrating Mass. And I caught the eyes of our parishioners, and they were all staring at her, and I was wondering what was going on. Well, apparently she had this idea that when she was in church, she was the priest. And so what would happen every so often is she would take the podium and start prayers, preaching, and became really a menace. We tried to be, again, gentle with her, also to find out her background, learned that she was from California, got in contact with her relatives, and tried to get them to bring her back home. This went on for several months, and finally she disappeared. But it was a daily problem, and it was very, very difficult to get her to sit down in the pew and just be there for Mass. Another distraction. Of course, most priests know that no matter how well you prepare your homily and you're ready to really give a good one, it can be destroyed in a minute. All you need is one child. I don't know what it is about a child's voice, but their voices can cut through everything. Most of our voices carry just so far. In fact, most parishioners tell me they can't hear me. But put a little child, a newborn, in the back of church, and let that baby cry, and it can drown out everything and destroy your homily if it is going on for too long. Another one of those bizarre things in ministry. And then, of course, there's always one or two parishioners that, when the prayers are being said, seem to have a voice that is above everybody else's voice. In other words, you can hear them. They don't fit in. And then you have parishioners who will be above everybody else in voice, but also they're not in tune. So when everyone else finishes the prayer, they're still saying it. Or when people are going a little too slow, they are going faster than them. Little things that come up. I'll never forget one day coming in, and this gentleman was in the back of church. I smelt his breath, and I think if I would have lit a match, he would have blown up. He was really inebriated. So, gently, we told him to sit in the back. Well, he started talking out loud. Really out loud. One of the parishioners went back there and tried to quiet him down. No luck. Went across the street, got our police. Police come in. This gentleman sees the police. Now, this is right during the celebration of Mass. And he runs up to the front of church with the police running after him as Mass is going on. Very interesting and very difficult, as I may say, to try to meditate the Mass when somebody is running all over the place. And it's not just people who are inebriated. I don't know how many times parents have lost their children and all of a sudden you see them running up to the front of church because the child is taken off and they're running along the altar rail or whatever is up there. It is it's a show to behold. Oh, and there are other bizarre things. I'll never forget when I was newly ordained. I had a wedding. But the father of the bride did not approve, to the point that he said, if I married or performed the marriage ceremony, he would shoot me. And so we had to call the police in and get him away from the church. And I'll never forget the two associates who were much older men sort of giving me the needle and saying, now, Gino, when you go and have that exchange of vows, keep your eye on the choir loft. He may be up there just ranging in on you, and you never know. And by the way, it's not a bad way to go. The stories of bizarreness in the priesthood are unbelievable. And it's very, very interesting. I might say we have a lot of street people, and you feel sorry for most of them, for all of them. There's something that just isn't clicking. But one of the most bizarre things is the stories they will tell you. We have had numerous people coming in looking for money. And it's always that a relative has passed away, and they need train fare because we have the Union Station real close by. And it's always a certain amount of money. We need $40. I cannot count how many times we've heard that very same story. Very interesting when you are in the priesthood for quite a while and how things will repeat themselves and go around and around again. Oh, yes, and then we had one street person, a really interesting person. You could talk to him, and he was very interesting. The only thing is, he had all his belongings in these carts, and he would park them out in front of church, and after a while, it wasn't just one cart, but two or three carts. It was like a busload of nothing but garbage. And, you know, you try to be, again, kind and gentle and say, you know, people are coming to church. Please, be respectful. And speaking of respect, I'll never forget one gentleman. I liked him, and we used to give him a little extra on the side because he had only one leg. And I remember once around Christmas time tracing him down. That's not the right word to use, but trying to get his attention to give him a little something for Christmas. And we bonded a little bit. Well, before you knew it, he was sort of taking advantage of this situation. And then when we refused to give him what he thought he had coming to him, he would stand out in front of church, and as people would come out of church, he would ask for money, and of course they wouldn't give it to him. And then he would start shouting at the top of his voice, you go to church, you pray, you talk about all of this goodness and sacrifice, and yet you won't give me anything. And again, he became really out of order and had to be escorted off the grounds. Priesthood has many, many bizarre things to it. You can be celebrating Mass in an old church such as ours, and all of a sudden you hear a bang, and you realize something just let loose from the ceiling. There's always something there that can distract you, and sometimes be very annoying. But if you've got a good sense of humor, you just sit there, and you smile and laugh and say, Lord, it's your temple, it's your people, I'm here to serve them the best I can, and let bygones be bygones, whatever is to happen, let it happen, and you take it where you want it to go. And sometimes the bizarre can turn out to be a blessing, because it teaches us that we are very fortunate. We're fortunate to have a roof over our heads, we're very fortunate to be able to still think clearly, we're fortunate to have people around us who support us. There are so many people, and you have no idea of the darkness of mind that they are experiencing and what they're going through. And then the actions. You sit there and you just shake your head and say, you know, this doesn't add up. The word fickle, it's unreasonable. Yes, it is unreasonable, because their reason has been tainted badly. And all you can do, as Christ did, is to care. Care deeply for them. And even though at times they're nuisances and you have to cart them off, always to say a prayer for them and say, well, but for the grace of God, there go I. And by the way, Lord, please grace that person. Give them something to hold on to. Give them something to make their day today, even though they're having great difficulties. And that is just a sliver of the bizarre in the priesthood. And so you want to be a priest, or you want to know what a priest does? Just listen. There's so much out there that goes into priesthood. Amen.